And what are they facing? Where is the persecution coming from? From Muslims, okay, which is a false religion. You see? That's what they're struggling with. That's where their issues are, where their faith is being challenged. You see? So, again, when you look at those kinds of things and you understand that, then you can see then how this applies not just to the Christians in the first century and what they were looking at and understanding, but it applies today. And you understand the forces, and we're going to continue on with this morning, looking at how influential on the world false religion has been and continues to be. And why, then, God is going to treat those who are involved in false religion of any kind, not just Roman Catholicism, but of any kind. You see, false religion is destructive. Okay? Not only is it destructive to those who would, are being led astray, but it's destructive to the world. And that's really what this part of Revelation is all about. Babylon the Great equals the enemy of God's people, the mother of harlots, gave birth to false religions. Okay, those who are unfaithful to God call themselves, okay, God's people, but yet are not. And of the abominations of the earth, spiritual fornication. So here's the woman on the beast. Okay? You have the woman representing religious powers. How powerful are a lot of these false religions and these denominations and so forth? How powerful are they in the world in terms of influencing the world? Absolutely. Absolutely.
So much power that it infiltrates the government.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So it's not like it's even separate. You don't have just false religion over here and governments over here doing their thing. This is all combined, where government and decisions that governments are making are in a lot of ways being based on false religion and the powers to be a false religion. So you have that religious powers of the false religion, the influence that it has upon the world. And you have the governmental powers represented by the beast here. Those powers have combined forces to help each other control the people of the earth. And that's what this is all about. Okay? It is about controlling the people of the earth so that they can be drawn away from their faithfulness to God. All right? 17 and verse 14. They will make war on the Lamb, and the Lamb will conquer them, for He is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those with Him are called and chosen and faithful. Okay? So, again, goes back to the issue of what is the theme? Okay? Things are bad, they're going to get worse, but the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings is going to be victorious in the end. And those who are aligned with Him, those who are faithful to Him, will gain that victory. Those who are not will be destroyed. Okay, but again, this is a reminder. This is war. And we need to remember that we are at war. We are in the midst of spiritual warfare. Okay? We are, as long as we hold true to our faith in Christ, we are on the winning side. But the war still has to be fought. Okay? The war still has to be fought. Okay. It talks about here the ten horns. Go back up to verse 12 here. The ten horns you saw are ten kings who have not yet received a kingdom, but who for 1 hour will receive authority as kings along with the beast. They have one purpose and will give their power and authority to the beast. Okay? Again, attempting to try to identify, you know, what do each one of the ten horns represent, and trying to, you know, pick and say, well, this horn represents this one represents that. There are those who say, well, these ten horns all represent the countries of NATO, and so forth. Again, you end up missing much of the point when you're starting to do that kind of thing. But I just want you to be aware that these are the kinds of things that people are putting out there, and you may hear some of this. So that when you hear it, you can go, nah, I'm not buying that. All right? Okay. Let me see here. 17 and verse 16. Look at 15 and 16 here. The waters you saw where the prostitute sits are peoples, multitudes, nations, and languages. He's getting ready to identify the different characters, so to speak, in this scene. Okay? What does that description represent then? Okay, all the nations, the influence, the broad influence that they have over the world, okay, over nations, over people, multitudes, and so forth, all right? The beast and the ten horns you saw will hate the prostitute. They will bring her to ruin and leave her naked. They will eat her flesh and burn her with fire. Right. So this is going to be the fate, okay, of those who are practicing false religion. Okay. In essence, the idea here is that the harlot has been deceiving the nations, people, okay? And so what's going to happen is they're going to turn on her. Right? They're going to turn on her. So, therefore, it doesn't really matter what the religion is. Okay? When power starts slipping away from the world through religion, then it has no more need for it. Right? And the beast then will turn and devour it. Because its influence will no longer be there. But throughout the Christian age, the great harlot has been deceiving and forcing people to worship according to her desires. And is that not true of what false religion is really all about? Okay. Teaching people, and it goes to what Paul said to Timothy, that men will, there will come a time, he said, when men will not put up with what? With sound doctrine. But instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. Okay? And that's basically what has happened. It began happening back in the first century. All right? So that's not something that's just happened recently. It's been going on since the first century. Right? And it's picked up pace and become stronger and a much, much stronger influence in the world than it ever was before. In the early times, when first century Christians were looking at these things and the situation that they were faced with, for the most part, their persecution came from two places. Where were they?
The Roman Empire. And then within their own sanctities.
From the Jews. Okay? Mm-hmm. Right? Then, as it progressed, it came from those who were Christians, but who were already teaching things that weren't true, and so they were being persecuted by those folks. We can read about that in John's letters, the three letters that John wrote. And so by now you can see the progression of that and the power that false religion has and the influence it has had in the world. At some point it appears that that is going to end. That is, before all of this comes to a finality, that the beast is going to turn on all religious influence that has been in the world. Okay? This is exactly why the woman is in trouble. This unfaithful woman has gotten in bed with the leaders of the world to gain the wealth and fame of the world, and has disowned the love of the truth. And that is why false religion is so dangerous and destructive. False teachings. Okay. Any thoughts, comments, questions?
Like if you read verse 17,
that's where we're getting ready to go to.
Oh, okay. Quiet then.
That's all right. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, does that then mean when the beast turns on them, that's already kind of like, I don't want to say judgment up on them, but, you know, they're going to end up at the same place where the beast is going to end up at?
Yeah. It's kind of like, you know, the saying that we maybe use at times, you made your bed, now sleep in it.
Sleep in it, exactly.
You know? And so that's basically where this is going. Mm-hmm. All right? You know, false religion has gotten in bed with the world, okay, with the powers of the world and with worldliness. And so now the end result is going to be, you know, hey, at some point they're not going to like you anymore. And they're going to turn on you and they're going to devour you. But why does that happen? For God has put into their hearts to accomplish His purpose by agreeing to give the beast their power to rule until God's words are fulfilled. Okay? What does that tell you?
Well, God is still in control of all.
Absolutely. God is still in control of all of this. As bad as it may seem, and that's a message we've got to remember, no matter how bad it gets, God is still in control. And He is allowing these forces to accomplish His will. Just like He did many, many times with Israel. Okay? That's why the Babylonians, we've talked about them, we'll talk about them a little bit more here in a few minutes, why they were allowed to conquer the Israelites. They were evil, wicked people. Okay? But God still used them for His purpose.
Like this case, He promised they will also yield the world.
Exactly.
Or, that's what He's promising again in a very similar situation.
Yeah. In the final page of all of this, they're going to be destroyed. And that's what we're getting ready to get to here in just a moment. Right? And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. So He describes and identifies who she is, that great city. What is that reference to? Basically to Babylon, spiritual Babylon. Okay, just like, as we've talked about, physical Babylon was an evil, wicked place. This represents in her connection and influence over the world. Becomes spiritual Babylon. We go back to chapter 14, in verse 8 and recall this statement. A second angel followed and said, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great." And look at the description, "which made all the nations drink the maddening wine of her adulteries." So this is being shown as that the influence, again, that false religion has had on the world, on the evil of the world. Go back, you know, to the time of the Israelites in the Old Testament. Babylon was, you know, the world power at a time. Assyria was there. Babylon was there. But within those world powers and those cultures, was there not religion being practiced? Absolutely. And within the Roman Empire, was there not religion being practiced by the Romans?
Yep.
Absolutely. They just had lots of gods. They had gods for everything, you see. Is that false religion?
Yep.
Sure it is. Is it just as dangerous as Roman Catholicism or Islam or any of that? Sure it is. So keep in mind, again, what this is talking about is the influence of religion, false religion, upon people, and not just individual people, but upon government and world powers. False religion of any kind. And it has been that way at least since Cain and Abel. All right? You go back to the garden, well, outside of the Garden of Eden, after they were kicked out, and we see both Cain and Abel offering sacrifices to God. Okay, what was the problem? Anybody recall what it says there? Okay. It says Abel offered a more acceptable sacrifice to God. All right? In other words, Abel did what God had instructed him to do. Cain did not do what God instructed him to do. False religion? Yeah, he was worshiping God. He made a sacrifice to God. But he was doing it his way, not God's way. And the world has been influenced by false religion ever since.
It comes down again to people want to worship God the way they want to worship Him.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Instead of the way He wants it.
Instead of the way that God says that He wants it done. All right, so all of this is a mingling of the influence of false religion upon the world and its powers and governments and so forth. There's not but two sides in this war. Okay? There are those who stand with God on the truth and those who don't. But I think the emphasis of this particular part of Revelation is to show, again, how influential religion has been upon the world. And that is false religion. And how destructive and dangerous it has been and continues to be. But in the end, okay, false religion will pay the price. Any other thoughts or comments on that at all? All right, let's move into chapter 18, the fall of Babylon. Okay? And after this, I saw another angel coming down from heaven. He had great authority, and the earth was illuminated by his splendor. With a mighty voice he shouted, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. She has become a home for demons and a haunt for every evil spirit, a haunt for every unclean and detestable bird." Okay? Describing basically what Babylon represents. Okay? All of the evil, all of the destruction, all of the false teachings, all of everything that is evil and bad in the world. Babylon the Great.
In reference, using the word Babylon as a great city, it's really not talking about any one particular city. It's talking about the religions throughout,
lost
religions throughout the world.
It's talking, again, symbolism here. It's basically referring to all of the evil of the mixture of false religion, the influence false religion has had upon the world and government powers, and that's what is represented by Babylon. Okay?
Because we have some cities that you would think would be described as the Babylon.
Right.
San Francisco might bring one up, some of the others.
Yeah, we do, but understand this is not, you know, this is not about at this point, okay? At this point and when things are happening, it's not about identifying this city like this one's going to be destroyed and the rest are going to be, or others are going to be. No, this is getting ready for total destruction, okay? This is really focusing on the influence that, again, the false religion mixing with, you know, the powers of the world and so forth have had upon the world. Right? So this is a total world thing here. All right? And Babylon just is that representation of all the evil, all of the bad, and, you know, whether it's you're talking about religion, people, governments, powers, everything that has aligned itself against God. Okay, is represented by Babylon, and it's going to fall. It has been. It's Babylon the Great. Why? Because it has been a great power and a great influence in the world, throughout the world. But now it's getting ready to fall. Okay?
It's going to happen over and over throughout history. So no matter when you live, it would apply to you.
Yes.
Just as Rome's influence waxed and waned, and the Roman Catholic Church waxed, and now it's kind of waned, and now we have Islam, that many countries actually, that is their religion and their government.
Right.
It's a theocracy. Now that it's kind of on the rise, so we can assume from this that it will wane at some point.
At some point, it's all going to be destroyed. That's the main point of all this. It's all going to fall. Everything that stands and has stood opposed to God will fall and be destroyed. Okay? Look at, beginning of verse 3. For all the nations have drunk the maddening wine of her adulteries. Okay? Let me see here. The kings of the earth committed adultery with her, and the merchants of the earth grew rich from her excessive luxuries. Right. Again, what is that picture of in your mind?
It's just everything worldly is just totally evil. It's basically there's only two kinds that's left over, those that are for God or those that there is no more saving grace.
Okay. Remember, just in the last part we were talking about, he mentions here, or what John sees and what he writes down here, is even the merchants of the earth grew rich from her excessive luxuries. Well, we saw here with the mark of the beast, and what's going to be the result during this, all this as it's unfolding, if you don't have the mark of the beast, you can't buy or sell anything. Okay, so even merchants and merchandising is influenced by this. Okay, and so we see basically the idea of how much destructive power this has wrought upon the earth. But now they're getting ready to pay. Right? The governments represented by the kings of the earth have committed adultery with her. They haven't been faithful to God. Okay? Rulers are put in place by God. Okay? But they haven't been faithful to God. and they will answer to God for their unfaithfulness. Notice the use of the terms from her excessive luxuries. Okay. Excessive luxuries. Has not false religion in many, many ways really kind of lived upon the luxuries and so forth of the earth? In a sense that what it has been able to do is to take the luxuries of the earth and pass those on as blessings from God. See? There are still many, many preachers, I use that term loosely, okay, false preachers out there who are preaching and teaching a health and wealth gospel. Okay? If you give your life to God, He will make you healthy and He will make you wealthy beyond your wildest dreams. Okay? And if you're not healthy and wealthy, then what's the problem? You're not being faithful to God.
Okay. You look at a lot of these churches, these huge churches, how much wealth they put into the church building. They show that type of mentality. Mm-hmm. They ask for that continued contribution. The big one is that. And they don't do it because they got the one in the street to take care of it. They get these building bigger churches and grand churches and stuff like that. So they project the very things.
Even a thing going around on Facebook the other day about a televangelist that is preaching that Jesus has inoculated all of us against the flu, so we do not need to be vaccinated ourselves because, you know, He cured diseases. If we believe in Jesus, we won't get the flu. Seriously. Mm-hmm. Is that what these people are preaching?
Well, I mean,
and then other people think, oh, that's Christianity. It's like absurd.
There are preachers that the so-called faith healers. Mm-hmm. You know, if you don't get healed, you don't have enough faith, and that's ridiculous. You know, yeah. Or
send in your money, and we'll give you this or that will help you, and so forth. Or just lay your hands on the TV.
Congregations where you got to pay to sit in a pew. You get your pew assigned if you pay for it. If you don't, you're going to, I guess, have to stand up.
That's a new one. They think about that, Jesus.
So again, what we see is this influence that, this combination or combining, bringing together, the worldliness with false religion. And the destructive nature of all of that, and even those kinds of descriptions that even the merchants have grew rich from the excess of her luxuries. Okay. Okay. Then I heard another voice from heaven say, "Let's see. Let me go away. Okay." Come out of her, my people, so that you will not share in her sins, so that you will not receive any of her plagues. For her sins are piled up to heaven, and God has remembered her crimes. This translation says, some translations say iniquities. Okay? Give back to her as she has given. Pay her back double for what she has done. Mix her a double portion from her own cup. Give her as much torture and grief as the glory and luxury she gave herself. In her heart she boasts, "I sit as queen, I am not a widow, and I will never mourn. Therefore, in one day, her plagues will overtake her, death, mourning, and famine. She will be consumed by fire, for mighty is the Lord God who judges her. So what is going to happen to false religion?
It will be destroyed.
It will be destroyed, and it will be exposed for what it really is. Okay? For what it really is. And for all of the trouble that it has wrought upon the world throughout history. And that is one of the reasons why it's important for us to stand on the truth. Okay? Stand on the truth. No matter what direction, you know, religion is going in the world, we need to make sure we stand on the truth. And by the way, I think that that in God's wisdom is probably, at least in my opinion it is, the reason that God, in designing His church, okay, set autonomy for churches in place. Okay, you understand what I mean by that? In other words, that every single congregation of the Lord's church is separate in terms of government and so forth from every other congregation. All right? And I think the reason in God's wisdom for that was so that you can't have what happens in so much of the denominational world today, where you have a governing body over the church that makes decisions for everybody within that. And so it leads the whole group astray. And that governing body is not sound, then it's going to lead the church astray. Within the Lord's church, we've certainly had our share of churches, congregations that have not done what they need to be doing because the leadership has led it astray. But then that is isolated to that congregation. They don't have influence over other congregations to pull them in their direction.
And that's really, you really see that when Jesus talks to the seven churches, mm-hmm. you know. This I got against you, or you know, you've done well.
And everyone is accountable to God. And so, like the eldership here, that we are accountable to God, and we are not responsible, or we have no authority over any other congregation. Well, I'm partly glad of that, simply because we got enough to be responsible for. I don't want the responsibility for all those other congregations. You see? But you see God's wisdom in that, knowing the influence that false religion was going to have and its wide sweeping effects. When leadership goes bad, it's going to take a lot of folks with it.
The responsibility also falls on all those who teach.
Mm-hmm.
We need to take that very seriously. And really on every individual Christian.
Absolutely. Okay. I don't know if you can read that particular part of it. This is verses 9 and 10. When the kings of the earth who committed adultery with her and shared her luxury see the smoke of her burning, they will weep and mourn over her. Terrified at her torment, they will stand far off and cry, "Woe, woe, O great city, O Babylon, city of power! In one hour your doom has come." The merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her because no one buys their cargoes anymore. Cargoes of gold, silver, precious stones, and pearls, fine linen, purple silk, scarlet cloth, every sort of citron wood, and articles of every kind made of ivory, costly wood, bronze, iron, and marble. Cargoes of cinnamon and spice, of incense, myrrh, frankincense, of wine and olive oil, of fine flour and wheat, cattle and sheep, horses and carriages and I gotta get some better glasses. And bodies and souls of men. Okay, look at two things here as we're finishing up for the day. How long are they going to, or how long has this destruction, did it take place? 1 hour. What does that represent?
Instantaneous.
Yeah, it's going to be quick. Okay, it's going to be quick when it happens. All right, not going to be this long, drawn out, you know, what have you. The other is you go through and you look at this list, you know, listing all these different things that merchants sell. Why this list? Why? What's the symbolism there in specifically listing these things?
They listed normal things, and then they listed bodies and souls of men.
Okay, all right.
It's all things people like want. They desire. Yeah.
It's all the stuff that people need and use and require and want and all to enjoy and live this life in the physical world. Okay. So it's representative of that this is going to be something that, again, will be complete here. Okay? All right. Okay, we're out of time again. So we'll pick up here in chapter 18, finish chapter 18 next week. All right? Thank you all very much.
Thank you.